Commander Hay settled herself comfortably at her desk and picked up her mug of coffee. "Right then, Charlie, hit me with today's calamities." The usual procedure established during their long working relationship was for Captain Farrandon to ease his commanding officer gently into a list of yesterday's disasters, following through with today's pending catastrophes, and then, depending on how things had gone so far, offer a teasing glimpse of tomorrow's possible misfortunes. As adjutant to Commander Hay, it was his job to expect the unexpected, the bizarre, the sudden, the inexplicable, and the downright stupid, especially the downright stupid. This last week, however, he had been spending his working days dealing with the Time Police's latest recruit was the wrong word. Acquisition was perhaps more appropriate. Amelia Michael John, one half of the perfidious Michael John siblings and former illegal, was now, unbelievably, a member of the Time Police. A much decorated and resourceful officer, Captain Farrandon was struggling daily with all the feelings of exasperation and frustration traditionally experienced by anyone in a supervisory category, coming into contact with either or both of the Michael John siblings. However, he was an officer in the Time Police and challenges existed to be risen to. The alternative, and rapidly becoming his preferred option, was to shoot her dead, drop the body in the Thames, and disclaim all knowledge of anything. This was a tactic that had always worked well for the Time Police in the past, and he saw no reason why it should let him down now. Captain Farrandon was roused from these happy thoughts by his commanding officer inquiring whether he had gone to sleep. He gritted his teeth. "No, ma'am. I was merely arranging my thoughts in order to present today's agenda in a timely and efficient manner." "Good God, Charlie, you are in a bad mood." "Not at all, ma'am. Merely..." He paused. "Merely nothing, ma'am." Commander Hay, having herself endured several frustrating interviews with Miss Michael John over the last couple of weeks, had gone on to dump the whole business of their new recruit in her adjutant's lap, citing her need to concentrate on securing additional funding from a reluctant government. Having, therefore, a very good idea of the cause of his tensely uttered "merely," she simply grinned and waited. Captain Farrandon pulled himself together. "Well, ma'am, the situation at the moment is as follows. Everyone involved in the Paris time stop and Acropolis incidents has completely recovered. Lundgrint is to be formally discharged later today, although he's been up and about for some time now. 10 days light duties, and if nothing drops off, then it's a full return to work for him as well." "That's good news. He's rather unique, and I was worried we'd lost him in Paris."
"Indeed, ma'am.
And before you ask, there's no news of Henry Plimpton anywhere. If he has any sense, he'll go to ground for a good while. He must know we'll put the word out that he's a person of considerable interest with whom we would like more than a quick word after his recent attempt to stop time. I've circulated rumours of a substantial reward. Have we discussed this worrying tendency of yours to spend money the Time Police does not possess?"
"We have, ma'am, on several occasions."